Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk Just Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Jets Radio. This is one of your hosts, Tyson Roush, and I'm in the middle of a lightning and thunderstorm, so I have no idea if you can hear me. I had no idea how long I'm going to keep power. So I hope everybody had a great holiday weekend. We are, what, 3 weeks away from training camp. So, Mr. Primetime, how you doing, man?
Dude, I'm going through that same storm right now.
I got the minute I walked out of the gym, dude, it got, like, dark purple, and it was, like, lightning and just monsooning rain. It's crazy.
There was one wave that hit, like, I don't know, about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. Trees were coming down. It was friggin' bad, so. I don't know if that's what you're getting now, but it still comes down right now. I mean,
it's fucking crazy, dude. Holy cow. How was your holiday weekend, man?
It was all right. It was uneventful. You know, I took the time to, like, you know, do some cleaning, do some things around the apartment. You know, I had a few days off, so trying to get some things in order, get ready for summer, get ready for training camp.
There you go. So we have not
you,
a lot. Dude, I'm all right, man. I've been super, super busy. We have our fight team's been really active. They had a lot of fight. They all fought on Saturday night. They all won, which is super cool. And that's it, man. It's just busy. And then trying to hit the beach as much as possible. And so that was good. And then you got McGregor and Poirier this Saturday. So doing good, man. Just keeping busy. Excited for training camp. I wish the Jets would announce what dates are open to the public and stuff like that. Last I checked, they haven't done that. I wish they would kind of give, like, a hint of what's going on with that, you know.
The bigger question is, what are we doing for Carolina? Are you going to have the whole weekend? Are we going down Friday? Are we going down last minute Saturday? What are we doing?
That I will find out. I'm working on it. I'm working. It's a work in progress.
Sound like me.
Dude, it's that freaking fight card, man. It's that goddamn Saturday night. It's killing me. So now we're trying, but now it's like if you're going to go into a fight camp, it starts very shortly. So these guys, whoever wants to fight, has got to commit to it now. So once they commit to it, I'll know what they're doing, and then I can kind of figure it out. I mean, my goal is to go on Friday. I need a nice vacation.
That's what I'm saying. I'd love to be able to go down Friday, have all day Saturday, do some stuff.
Yeah, so a couple of things, like some housekeeping things. The first thing is, you know, there was a little rankings done by Sports Illustrated ranking the stadiums, and no surprise, MetLife Stadium ranked very poorly. I did a quick video on it, but, like, if anybody knows anything about stadium experiences outside of New York, if you go to any other new stadium anywhere in the country, they are always better than MetLife. MetLife is just a bona fide waste of money, a waste of time. It's just a poor stadium environment, and that's not an indictment on the team. Indictment on the teams inside. I mean, poor play doesn't help anything. But the entire stadium experience just sucks, man. It's just the ranking was well deserved.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely doesn't help that the team hasn't been good since, you know, the first year that they were open when they made the playoffs. They haven't gone back since. You haven't had a playoff game in that building. So I mean, you know, the stadium is what it is. You know, you took away a true home field advantage, even though it wasn't our stadium in Giant Stadium. We had a legitimate home field advantage there. It was 80,000 packed Jets fans every single Sunday. You knew the same people in your section every single week. You had, you know, Fireman Ed going up and down every single section. It was a legitimate home field advantage, a legitimate home atmosphere. And, you know, unfortunately, with the PSLs and everything that they did, they took that away. And, you know, they didn't even give us a good stadium, you know, to go with it. And unfortunately, you know, you factor in the parking and everything else. It's just, you know, it's not a fun environment. Do I think it can get better? Yeah, if the team's playing better, yeah. But, you know, there's still certain things that they took away that, you know, it's going to be tough to recreate, I think.
Yeah, between the PSLs, the parking passes, they priced out a lot of diehard fans. And it's just – the experience itself, just whether it's the stadium setup, the everything, it's just like you go. Like I said, you can go to any other stadium, you compare it to MetLife, and it's just dollar for dollar, it's not a good investment. Like, they did a poor job with it. So that's, you know, a minor story. Obviously, you're 3 weeks to the training camp, and Zach Wilson's still not signed. I'm sure now that Trevor Lawrence is signed, he'll be the next to follow. You know, there's probably a little bit of negotiation going on. But, you know, yeah, Mac Jones. But I'm saying, like, once the number one pick goes, number two pick, now you know where your salary level falls. So I'm sure Zach will be next, I would hope.
Yeah. We would think so. I mean, we remember with Sam Darnold where it was all the talk about the offset language and everything else where it kind of dragged into, you know, the first couple of days of training camp. So hopefully they can avoid that.
Yeah, and a minor story that not something I'd like getting involved in, but the whole Zach Wilson's mom thing is just getting ridiculous too, where it's like it's hard to ignore it, man. It's just like her last Instagram post saying that, you know what, Zach asked me to take my Instagram page down, even offered her money, and she's like, no, I'm doing a service. Like, come on, man. Like, don't, like you, it's crazy, man. Like, hopefully it doesn't become a bigger story to come down the line. You know, like, as long as he plays well early on and keeps his head straight and does all the right things, I think it'll be fine. If he struggles at all, this could potentially become a story because that's how the media is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, she's doing him no favors by opening her mouth with certain things. I get it. She's entitled to, you know, to her own opinion, and she has her Instagram page where, you know, she's making an influence, so she says. So, I mean, you know, she's free to do what she wants. But, you know, I would hope that as a mother she could realize that, you know, every time that she does mention her son's name, it becomes a story, and usually it's in a negative light. So, you know, just kind of considering, you know, your son's in a New York market, rookie quarterback, you know, he's got a lot on his plate this year. You know, you don't want to be a distraction for him.
Especially when he asked her to take it down. I mean, he's trying to do the right thing. Like, listen, like, we don't need this as a family. We don't need this. You know, it's like, it's the New York market. This is a media frenzy, you know, this is it. So we'll see what happens. But primetime, not only was it the 4th of July this weekend, but it was also somebody's birthday. Let's bring on Hollywood.
Oh, of course, you let us know about it.
Happy birthday,
gentlemen,
my friend.
Gentlemen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate the love, man. I want to say thank you to everybody who reached out and, you know, sent me birthday wishes and messages. I really appreciate that. Meant a whole lot, bro. I really appreciate what you guys do, man. Love you guys.
So how was your holiday weekend?
Bro, I'm going to tell you something, man. Yo. I'll tell you, yo, bro, I've been drinking water, Gatorade, and Pedialyte all fucking day, bro. That should say a lot.
Not bad,
huh? It's, bro, it was a lot, bro. Like, you know, I really did a lot. Like,
you're a big dude, so, like, how many does it take you to, like, really get you, like, you know, feeling tipsy?
I'm going to say Saturday, man. I'm going to be real with you. We probably went through four things of corn liquor, four things of Absolute, four things of Paul Masson, four things of Crown Royal, and probably, I don't know, enough beer cans to fill up two full-size trash cans, bro. I was done. Sunday, same thing over again. Bro. It was so bad, bro, on my birthday, bro. I was drunk by 4:30,
drunk,
bro. I'm talking, listen, I was drunk at 4:30. 6:30. I'm beyond messed up. By 11 o'clock on my birthday, bro, I'm going to be real honest with you, bro, I was in no condition to do nothing. So I just realized.
We didn't get one
so
text
crazy?
Message. We didn't get nothing. We got nothing back from prime time. Like, you think he'd be like, yo, boys, what's up? We'll get nothing. Out of sight,
yo,
out of mind. Don't care about us.
I said thank you, man. Yo, listen, let me explain something to you, right? I'm going to be really honest with you, right?
I would have drove down.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. You already know. You listen, man.
We didn't get no invite.
I want to hear that. Quick
shot down I-95. We would have been there.
See?
Walking apart.
You know what? Yeah. You know, it's mighty funny. I said this after my birthday, but it's cool, though. Don't miss the next one. But I'll tell you this, though. I'm not going to lie to you, right? I lost my phone Sunday afternoon somewhere, right?
Yeah, here comes the excuses.
No. I'm going to be honest with you, right? Yo, thank you to the guy who ran across the street to bring me my phone, man. You are the real hero of my birthday. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Now, I had a really good time, though, man. Like, we had a family softball game Saturday, which was really interesting because, like, you know what I'm saying, we're, like, all old and we still think we got it and you realize you don't have it no more. Like, but, no, I had a really good time, man. I really did.
Okay, well, that's good. So to confirm, you did not invite me in prime time down. You had a big party without us, and then you tried to lie about it. So that's – all right, we wrapped that story up. Cool.
Wow, this is – I'm telling you, bro, only you, Tyson. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, you know, the check. I will say this though, Tyson did send the check on my B-day, so I appreciate it, man. You know what? You know, I appreciate that, boss man. I really do, man. You know, I was shocked.
You know what? The funny thing is, prime time. You know what the weird thing is? I don't even get an acknowledgement. I don't even get like, yo, bro, thanks. Like now, it's just assumed. Like it's like, yeah, it's about time. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, when's the next one? Like it's like, I don't even get thank yous anymore,
prime,
man. It's just
hey,
like,
yo,
I earned
it, what?
Whatever.
It's funny, prime time, because he's always late though. You know, so he's always late without fuzz, man. I don't understand that, bro. But you know. I appreciate all he do, though, man. Nah, man, I really do appreciate the love, fellas. I really do, man. And I said this to, you know, we had at the little thing. I said, you know, it's 16,722 days around the sun. I appreciate every day. And I realize that you got to appreciate every moment you're here, bro, because, you know, it's been a trying year, man. You know, death in the family, people getting sick. Just, you know, just it's a beautiful time to be here, bro. So thank you guys for all y'all doing. I love you guys. That's it. That's all the soft shit you're getting out of the game. Let's get the business.
So, Tyrone.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double chance is what the fuck he wants.
I told you I was going to have some new audio for you.
So well, last week we covered the Jets offense. This week we covered the Jets defense. And to me there's a lot of expectations for this group because you have a defensive minded head coach who's, you know, highly touted, very innovative, does a lot with a little. So it starts with the defensive line for me, and that's when basically, especially when you consider the secondary, this defensive line has a chance to be a force if Quinton Williams can stay healthy, if Frankens can stay healthy. You know, you have Carl Lawson, you have John Franklin Myers. Tyrone, what are your thoughts on this defensive line and what they can be this year, you know, this upcoming season?
You hit it out the park with what you just said. I mean, if these guys can stay healthy, I think that for the first time in a long time, we're going to have a real pass rush. I think not only, you know, side the ends, I think interior pass rush and being able to stop the run, I think is really going to be good. I think we were number five last year. But I think actually getting after a quarterback where you put, you know, Q and Rankins together inside. Then you got my man Foe coming off in the rotation, bro. I mean, I really think that this defensive line is probably the best we've had in a really, really long time. I think these guys are going to be underrated. I think these guys are going to get after it. I think that's probably why, that, you know what I'm saying, they're not concerned with pass rushes as much as we are, because I think they really realize that you're going to have some monsters up front that you really can't double team. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can double-team Q, and you can double-team Rankins, and you can double-team Foe. You can do all of that. You got Shepard coming in as well. I think it's going to make a big impact. But then you got them bookends on the end. They're just going to be able to, like, I'm being honest. I think it's our really, really one of our strong points on this team right here is our defensive line. I think that it's the best I've probably seen since, like Rex been there, bro. I really think these guys are going to get after it. I really believe that. What do you think, Brown Town?
As good as the Rex years, though? They had Sheldon and Moe and
yep.
Snappy.
I definitely think so.
I just like, listen, man, like, these you have guys that
got the potential
really,
to be.
Yeah, I mean,
if Frank can stay healthy.
It's all hype of, you know, it's all what we see on paper. But, I mean, if you look at what these guys can do and over their careers, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think Q, if he can stay healthy, is really coming to his own ranking. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to check this guy's stats. This guy has the best spin move, man, probably right there in the league. This guy is a beast. So, this guy normally gets double teamed. That's probably why he came here, because he knows he's not going to be – you can't double team him. You can't really double team Q. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be straight pressure, and I think our coach, what he does is he schemes these guys to be successful. Like I'm we were already number five against the run last year, bro. With not a solid secondary and outside core. So imagine how these guys are gonna be, man. I'm really comfortable where we at right now. I really am.
Okay. I mean, But even if you added like Bryce Huff and you, like I said, you have like six, seven, eight deep. Like they have Vinny Curry. I mean, they can rotate guys in and out, and all these guys are like,
yes,
they should be able to stop the run, and they should get to the quarterback, and they should collapse the pocket too, like from the middle. Like Loss is going to do his thing on the outside, but to me, it's like the pressure up the middle could be phenomenal if these guys stay healthy.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think that Quinn Williams of, you know, all the players on the D-line that we've had over the past 10 years, which, you know, includes some good ones, I think the ceiling for Quinn Williams is definitely the highest. Now, can he reach it? You know, I think we're all expecting that big jump into year three, and I think the same thing kind of goes for Lawson as well. You know, we paid him big money. I think that, you know, he's definitely had the pressures coming over from Cincinnati, and if you watched, you know, some of the Flight 2021 stuff when they were talking to Ulbrich, you know, he was saying, like, the big thing is, like, he's a disruptor. You know, he gets in the backfield, even though he's not actually generating those sacks. He's getting the pressures. You know, he's forcing the quarterback to get rid of the ball quickly. You know, but can he, you know, elevate his game to that next level where he's actually getting those game-changing sacks or opening things up for Quinn Williams or Rankins or even Franklin Myers? So I think this group definitely has the potential, you know, to be as good as any unit we've had. But, again, it's still potential right now.
Yeah, see, for me, it's like the questions for me start after that. In my Jets heart, I want to believe a lot of big things for C.J. Mosley. He hasn't played in 2 years, ridiculously healthy, he's lost some weight, he's got a chip on his shoulder. He wants to redeem himself and prove himself to everybody. So that's what I'm kind of putting my hat on that thing. You know what? He's going to come back with a very good year. If that's the case, this defense can be good. If he struggles or doesn't play well, the linebacking group is completely unknowns. Because Jarrad Davis was considered a bust in Detroit. Look at your linebacker group. Blake Cashman can't stay healthy. So, I mean, how would you evaluate the linebackers, Tyrone?
I mean, I like the young cats that we got, bro. I like the young cats that we got. I'm not even going to count on Cashman. I just think he hasn't been able to be on the field at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you see him right now, he looks swole as a mug, but he looks like he's been really putting in work. But his shoulders are bad, but we knew this coming in. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you expect that. I think Mosley will bounce back to form. I think we'll have the defensive line the way we're going to have it. I think that we're really going to be able to attack. So I think that having him, not having to have that role of having to be the only guy on the defense. And I'm really looking at the guys that we brought in. Like, you know what I'm saying? Especially my man out of Florida State, man. I really think this kid, you know, might end up being a steal of the draft, man. I really think this kid might be a problem. I think that with the linebackers, they're young, they're fast. I mean, they're going to be young, they're going to be fast. I think Mosley's probably the centerpiece, you know what I'm saying? But at the same
what's a realistic expectation for C.J. Mosley this year? Like, what is saying this is what – it's like realistic, like we can expect this – and that should be, like, his benchmark.
I mean, you know, I mean, it can fluctuate. It could be anywhere between 80 to 100 tackles, you know what I'm saying? You could look at, you know, 5 or 6 sacks. I think the biggest thing
– is he a Pro Bowl level?
You know, I would hope that he comes back at the Pro Bowl level, but if not, a step from there. You know what I'm saying? I think Q should have been a Pro Bowl last year, and he wasn't. So, you know, it kind of depends on how they pick. But I think he'll be – out of the top 100 players, I think he'll be anywhere from 100 to 90. He'll be in that – if worst-case scenario, he'll be in that ballpark, if not higher. I think that what he does is, you know what I'm saying, he's the kind of player that you don't lose a lot doing what he do. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? They say he hasn't lost a step. You know what I'm saying? He's probably going to have a little ring rust, but he hasn't lost a step. And someone like that, you know, plays that position, that position is more mental than anything. You know what I'm saying? It's not really having the best physical attributes. It's being able to cover a little bit, but it's being able to think on your feet, you know what I'm saying, and pre-think. I think that he does that very well. I think that he's probably more mentally sharp than anything. I think he's healthy right now. And I think, you know, and people that are saying things about C.J. Mosley, C.J. Mosley has never been hurt prior to coming here. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's never been hurt prior to coming here. That should speak volumes. I mean, this man hasn't had – I said he had a history of being hurt. He's never had that. So I'm looking for a bounce back here.
I think he could be the brains of the defense. He could be the captain. He can call the plays and everything else. But prime time, like, how would you evaluate the linebacker position?
A lot of unknowns. You know, I think C.J. Mosley is the big X factor. I mean, you give me 90% of the player that he was in Baltimore, and I think that's definitely a Pro Bowl caliber player that, you know, gives this defense a huge boost. You know, like you said, you know, a great communicator, a leader of the defense, a guy that, you know, I think is going to help set up some of the younger players on this defense. But other than him, it's a lot of unknowns. I mean, you're probably talking about Jarrad Davis as your strong side linebacker, and then, you know, guys like Cashman and Nasruddin and Sherwood probably battling it out on the weak side. And, you know, Cashman, he's got questions about whether or not he can stay healthy. And, you know, mid to late round rookies, you really never know what you're going to get there. So, you know, we've talked a lot about signing a corner, signing a backup quarterback, but, you know, a guy like KJ Wright, you know, for example, you know, an outside linebacker that can cover, you know, I think that can make a lot of sense. Even though he's a little bit older, he still, you know, brings that veteran experience. So, you know, I think that's a move that, you know, they might make at some point in training camp.
So what are your expectations for Mosley? Like, what would you consider realistic for him?
What, in terms of numbers?
Just, like, do you think he can return to Pro Bowl caliber play, or is he just going to be, like, a solid linebacker? Like, what should we expect from him this year?
I mean, I personally expect him to be in the Pro Bowl. I think that should be the expectation for the amount of money that he's making. He's had a year off to get his body healthy. It's not like he's old. You know, he's still, I think, under 30, right? So, you know, I think the expectations should be pretty high. You know, the player that he was in Baltimore was, you know, one of the better players in football. So, like I said, if we get like 80 to 90% of that, you know, that's a great add for the defense.
Okay, so then you go from the linebackers, then we'll go to the safeties first because, you know, Marcus May right now, you still have, what, 9 days to get him signed to a long-term deal. I think that'll probably come down to the, you know, the final moments they get a deal done with him. Then you have LaMarcus Joyner, who is, you know, played a lot of corner. They're moving him back to what they say is his natural position at safety. So, Tyrone, what is your evaluation of the safeties, man? What's your level of confidence in this being like the glue to the secondary?
I think that, you know, I think that is the glue to the secondary. I really do. I think that that's going to be something that's going to really help us out more than anything. I think that we're going to be short on certain areas with our secondary as for our cornerbacks. But I think it's going to be our strong point. I think Marcus May, you know, I think he'll come in. You know, he's not only respected in the locker room, he's actually respected on the field. You know what I'm saying? I think that he comes out and he brings 110%. I think the guy that we picked up was Joyner that we picked up from Oakland, I think he's going back to his natural position. So I think that, you know, I think he'll make a much better impact. They had him playing slot corner last year, and he was getting burned because that's not his position. I think that him going back and, you know, being able to cover tight ends and stuff like that will be more detrimental for him, and him playing closer to the line and, you know, and being able to play in zone. I think that'll really, really show, you know, not only what we have, but these guys' athleticism as well, because I think Marcus May can have more of instead of playing that center field or being able to move on the field a little bit, being able to see things before it happens. So, as for our safeties, I'm very comfortable with our safeties at this very moment. What you prime time?
Not a lot of depth, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, depth is definitely a concern. I mean, my expectations are pretty high for Marcus May, you know, going into a contract year. Assuming he doesn't sign a contract, you know, I think he's going to be looking to, you know, put up pretty big numbers and sign a contract next year. And Joyner, you know, same thing I was saying, you know, before about that series that the Jets were doing when they were talking to Albright. You know, he was, you know, mentioning about Joyner playing the slot and how, you know, the experience that he got there, you know, covering receivers one-on-one, that's going to be huge in this defense when, you know, he's asked sometimes to, you know, cover a tight end one-on-one, like just having that coverage experience. So, you know, I like what Joyner brings. You got him at a reasonable rate. The question really is about Ashton Davis. You know, what do you get out of him? Can he fill that depth role?
Yep. That's the whole thing. And you go from there because, like, after that, they don't really have anybody. Like, that's it. Like, all those other guys they had, they didn't bring back. So then it's like you go from there to the corners, and the corners are ridiculously young, man. And I think the part of me is still surprised they didn't sign somebody to bring him in. Maybe that'll happen during training camp. But, you know, I guess maybe Corey Ballantyne is maybe considered a veteran, but he's not really. So you got Bless Austin. You got Michael Carter. You got Javelin Guidry. You got Lamar Jackson. You know, Justin Hardy they brought in, special teams guy, but they said he's going to give him a chance to play corner. Bryce Hall. I mean, Kevin, what do you think there with the corners? I think it's just there's going to be a lot of competition, which is good. You know, a lot of you have rookies, you have guys competing, which you're going to get good reps, get good competition. The level of play, I'm not sure what you're going to get. My honest opinion is I think they're going to try to hide that secondary with exotic schemes like coverages and a great pass rush because I think there's just so many unproven guys back there.
Yeah, tons of young guys. I mean, they're all young, good measurables, you know, good size, speed combos. But, you know, you got a lot of guys that, you know, coming back from last year, the year before, you know, between Bless Austin, Javelin Guidry, Lamar Jackson, Bryce Hall. And, you know, you brought in some new guys this year, you know, some draft picks with Pinnock and Echols and Michael Carter. So, you know, there should be some healthy competition there. But, you know, same thing, like I said, for, you know, adding a veteran linebacker and a backup quarterback, you still have plenty of cap space to work with. You know, there's going to be plenty of veterans that shake out at some point in camp. So bring in a cornerback too. But, you know, early on at least, you know, let's get these young guys some reps, see what they got. You know, we always talk about the strength of our offense being the wide receivers. So, you know, we're going to get these young corners tested pretty early in camp. So, you know, let's see what they have and, you know, identify what needs we have and identify, you know, what depth we have. And, you know, like I said, we have the money. So if we need to add somebody, you know, I think they can bring somebody in.
Yeah, because right now, like, I mean, Tyler, if you think about it, if you're an opposing offense, the way you attack, I would attack this defense is with a quick passing game and keep testing these corners and see what they can do. Like, I think the Jets will be stout against the run and be like, you know what, we're gonna try to beat you with the pass and set up the run. And I think that's how that you challenge the secondary. I mean, what do you think, Tyrone?
I mean, not necessarily. I think that if you're running the zone, I think that, you know, say that quick passing game will be, you know, it depends on how exotic it is. But if you have guys in certain locations, I mean, it's always going to be spots on zone. But if you have guys that can get to the ball, fly to the ball, and just cover the area, the biggest thing for me with these young guys is them knowing their position and learning this new offense, new defense. That's the one thing that scares me. That's the biggest issue I say that I will probably see. Is these guys being able to, you know, I'm trying to pick this up and really understand. You know, it's easy to do it when everything is slowed down. Can you do it when, you know, it's time to, you know, it's time for action? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I guess the other question I have too that I think we'll see as this plays out is, how does this coaching staff adjust to adversity? How do they adjust to injuries? How do they adjust when their plan isn't working? And that was something in the past with these – even Todd Bowles was stubborn, Adam Gase was stubborn, Greg Williams is stubborn, where they just kept running their schemes out there. If it wasn't working, they were just getting their asses torched. And I'm wondering if Saleh's willing to adapt, saying, listen, you know what, this young secondary can't hold their own. I got to figure something else out. Or my pass rush isn't getting what I want. Do I go to some kind of hybrid defense? Do I alter my – do I do more, you know, nickel? Do I do more whatever? Like, I'm curious to see how they handle this defense if things aren't going their way.
Well, I'll just say, going off of last year, I mean, how many starters did that 49ers defense lose? And they were still one of the, top 10 ranked defenses at the end of the year. So for him to, you know, kind of keep that defense together with, you know, a lot of just, you know, spare parts, I think that speaks volumes for, you know, his ability to adapt as a defensive coordinator. Now as a head coach, yeah, he's probably going to be a little bit more involved on, you know, in terms of all phases of everything. You know, so Albrecht's probably going to have a little bit more responsibility here. But I'm excited to see what Saleh can do. I think last year really did show a lot. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, the way the players respect him. And, you know, I just think he's going to have these guys really playing hard and just running through a brick wall for him. So, good times.
So then what is your realistic expectations for this defense? Like, is it like a top 15 defense that will keep the team in the game, good against the run, like maybe not so good against the pass? Like, what should we expect from this team, like on now in paper in July?
I think top 15 is fair. I think that you're hoping that, you know, the front seven is going to be the strength, that, you know, Quinn Williams, you know, really explodes in year three, that C.J. Mosley, you know, gets back to, you know, the form that he had in Baltimore, the player that we thought we were signing. And as long as you have, you know, your safety's healthy, in May and Joyner, you know, I feel like that should be enough to at least, you know, help to somewhat cover up your deficiencies at corner. So I think this defense should be able to generate a pass rush with the front seven, and if they do that, they should be all right.
What do you think, Tyrone?
I agree with Primetime. I think that, you know, I think our front seven is definitely going to be, you know, I'm saying, a focal point of what we're doing. I also think that, you know, I think our secondary, I still think we make a move. I still think we bring a veteran in. I just think we do. I think there's a lot of good veterans out there. It's one guy, it's a few guys in particular, but I think they want to see what these young guys do. But I think either before training camp or probably second week of training camp, we're going to bring someone else in. You know, I think that they're going to realize that, you know, we have a really good team. I'm kind of surprised that somebody like Sherman's still out there. My man from Pittsburgh is still out there, you know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of looking at it like, I just want to see, you know what I'm saying, how these guys look in training camp and what these young guys do.
All right, so what we'll do is we will – go ahead, Tyrone.
I'm really excited what we have. I think for the first time in a long time that, you know what I'm saying, like, our defense isn't the most focal part, but I think our front seven, I definitely say top 10 right now. And I think depending on our secondary, I think our safety is going to be great. I'm concerned about, our, you know, our overall secondary.
So we will go to JJ in Brooklyn. JJ, what's up, man?
Fellas, what's going on? How's everyone's summer going so far? What's going on?
Pretty good, bro. How about you?
Good, good. Not bad, man. Can't complain. Just waiting for the NBA Finals to get started in a minute or two right here and hoping the rain stops so I could see my boy DeGrom pitch tonight, too. So
I was going to say, you're watching the finals over Jacob DeGrom?
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, right now because the Mets are in delay, but once DeGrom's on the mound, forget it. Yeah, I watch DeGrom all day, man. Come on.
The question,
right,
question, quick
who
question
you guys,
is, what are you going for?
Oh, in the finals?
Yeah.
I would like to see Chris Paul get his first ring, so I'll probably be pulling for Phoenix. You know, Paul deserves, you know, CP3, he deserves to get a ring after all these great years. But the Greek Freak is playing. They see it was a game-time decision. He's back, but I don't know. I'm torn. It's going to be a long series. I think it's going to go seven.
God.
I don't know. I don't know who's going to take it. I really don't. It's even for sure. But, yeah, man, you guys are basically hitting on a lot of the points I wanted to say. I really think this defense could be – I think it could do unexpected things. Like you guys are saying, the secondary is definitely, you know, our corners. That's definitely going to be a big issue. I like Bryce Hall. I really think he showed some good things when he came back from injury. I think he showed a lot of potential. But besides him, you know, Lamar Jackson, and we just – there's not much there, you know, but – I think our linebackers, our safeties, the D-line, I really think that's going to be really solid. You know, getting Lawson is huge. Quinnen Williams, well, yeah, seven sacks.
Wait,
and look at all the
– Wait,
yeah.
Hold on, JJ. But you don't have any concerns about the linebackers? I mean, Mosley basically hasn't played in 2 years, and the guys
yeah.
around them basically are unknowns.
Yeah, yeah. And like Lawson's a key. What's he going to – I don't think he really lost much. He's probably fresh, if anything, after taking last year off. You know, I mean, he's the key to the defense, in my opinion. If we could get what we had for like a game and a half, you know, I mean, it's only such a short time. But, you know, he could, yeah, like you were saying, Cashman, he's always hurt. Yeah, that could definitely be an issue. There's no doubt about it. But I think the D-line, I think our safeties is going to be pretty good, May. But it's just the corners is gonna that's just gonna kill us. Because when you look at Quinnen Williams, I think he's gonna have a huge year. He had seven sacks last year. He missed three games, and if you remember, there had to be about four or five plays where he got to the quarterback, but he just has to avoid putting that damn hand in the face mask. He could have had like 11 or 12 sacks if he stays away from that. Like he's getting there, but how many plays were there? Like four, probably where he was there, but he got the face mask call. Like, you had the sack, you know, but he just gets so excited and he just gets that 15-yard face mask instead of getting the sack. But having him and Lawson, I think we could really put some pressure on the quarterback. I just wish one other thing we need for the long term is another pass rusher, I think, you know, opposite of Lawson. I think that's
– Another pass rusher?
You know, yeah, and it's like another proven one, you know. I mean, we have young guys with potential, but I think we can use one more. You don't think so? I'm more worried about.
I think like corner and linebacker rather than a pass rusher. I think that defensive line, especially
yeah.
when you figure in John Franklin Myers, Bryce Huff, they were all starting to come on. I feel comfortable
True.
There. I'm worried about behind True. Mosley, like what Jared Davis is, and then like the corners. I don't know. What
yeah.
do you think, Prime Time?
Yeah,
I think right now, yeah. I mean, you already have some tough cuts. You know. You assume that Vinny Curry
yeah,
is going to
yeah.
be on the team as a veteran. You have Franklin Myers. You have Kyle
oh,
Phillips.
Yeah,
you have Liga coming back. You have Bryce Huff. So, you know, I think you got some healthy
yeah,
competition
yeah.
as far as depth goes. Now, you know, if you have some injuries or something like that, you know, maybe you bring somebody in. But, yeah, I still think corner and
yeah.
you know, maybe a coverage linebacker, a little bit more of a need on
yeah,
defense
absolutely.
Right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm just pumped, too, about this O-line. I'm still worried about right guard, 100%. You know, that's probably the one area where – You know, we just have no idea what we're going to get. But if we could get something there, just something unexpected, somebody steps up, hopefully Clark, that could just be a dominant line, man. It really could be. I mean, this line, but it's still, it all depends on Becton now. If he's going to be coming out of games and missing games, that's just going to put, it's just going to kill us. It really is. It's just going to derail everything, man. This guy's just, he's got to stay on the field. He's just such a beast. You know, having him and AVT, I mean, that's just going to be monstrous. But that's just got to stay on the field.
That's why I feel good now about the the signing of Moses, because, you know, as long as Fant's going to be here, you
right.
just have some depth to work with. So
right,
I'm curious,
right.
so what player on defense, you know, do you think has, like, the biggest target on their back this year, like the most expectations?
Oh,
what
man.
Mosley.
I don't know. I think Mosley. I think Mosley's got to be the guy.
Well,
I think fans
yeah,
are so down
yeah,
on him
Lawson,
right now.
Who just signed a big contract. He's got a lot to prove. You got Quinnen Williams, number 3 overall pick, trying to live up to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, but
I
if
think
you look
Quinnen
at,
Williams
if you look at the front
step.
Time, but, like, Quinnen Williams started taking that big step last year. Mosley, since he's been
yeah.
a Jet, hasn't done jack shit. So he's coming right. off
Nothing.
A year where he took the year off, and that big-ass contract, he's got to earn it now.
Yeah.
That's true.
He definitely has, because if not, buddy, it's going to be a whole different level of pimping. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But I still
yeah.
think that, you know what I'm saying, I'm not counting on him because we didn't have him. You know what I'm saying? I think
yeah.
I think Marky's mate. I think he has a lot to prove. I think that, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to say he has a loss in depth with that big contract he gave him, because you know how our fans are. You know what I'm saying? He has 6-7 sacks this year. They don't care if he got 28 quarter QB rushes, but he only had 5 sacks.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
not
you know,
true at
I
all.
That,
I mean, that means you're not an educated fan then. If we had a guy that generated 28
Tyson,
rushes and 6 sacks,
Tyson,
I'd be doing cartwheels
Tyson,
down the street.
Tyson, you would. Primetime would. Everybody that loves this show would. But how many dumbass Jeff fans, you know, they'll be mad if he only had 5 sacks? I mean, so you know how that go, bro. You know this team. You know how what that is, man. You know what I'm saying? I heard people say Q had a bad season last year. Like what? Like he had a bad season?
No.
How? Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
well,
Tyrone,
this is the problem. You don't go by people like the Jet Press for your takes. You don't go for, like, the lousy, like, half-assed website. You go to reputable people and deal with the fans that have common sense. You know what I mean? Like, you don't go to the lower denominator. You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, I'm going to tell you this,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
This is the one
like
thing I want to say about Lawson. This is the one thing about Lawson I'm going to say. When those guys getting pressure up the middle, those quarterbacks aren't going to be able to step up and run like they want to. So him and whoever's on the other side of him are really going to wreck shop. But, you know, like I said, I feel we're going to have a good season, so I'm good. I'm happy.
Are you worried about the depth at all behind C.J. Mosley? Like, in years past, we've had guys like, you know, Neville Hewitt, James Burgess. Like, right now, I mean,
yep.
are we counting on Blake Cashman?
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like he's going to
be
more of a coverage
be,
guy.
Yeah.
So who's behind Mosley right now?
Yeah.
That's,
you got to be worried,
you know,
100%.
And you definitely need somebody there that's going to be decent, because that's what we had, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't know why this everybody never, man. My man was killing it last year, bro. He can't cover worth a damn, but I'm telling you, bro. Yeah, he's always in the mix of a play, man. For real.
Yeah. One last
we
thing, man.
It.
This.
Oh, good.
Yeah, can I say one last thing real quick? This receiver core, I'm excited, man. Elijah Moore, just all the things you're reading, and just I'm so excited about this kid, man. And then having Davis and Mims. I'm not – you guys may think I'm a little off base, but I'm not crazy about Mims. I didn't really like the draft pick at the time. And just when he's on the field, he just – I don't know. To me, he just plays very slow. I don't know. Maybe you guys think I'm off base here, but I'm not a huge fan of him. I think he's going to fall down the depth chart. I think guys like Keelan Cole is going to end up playing, getting more playing time than him, and obviously Davis, and I think Moore will too. I think he's going to end up being like a fourth, fifth best receiver. I don't know, but I'm pumped about Moore. I can't wait to see him.
Well, see, I think the thing about Mims is he was a little bit inconsistent. He got banged up a little bit, but now there's a ton of competition.
Right.
So now the cream's going to rise to the top,
right.
man. If you half-assed or inconsistent like that, you're not going to play. So it could bring out a better player in him, if anything.
True, true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
You too, man.
Appreciate it.
You too. Take care.
Thanks,
you too.
All right, bro. Have a good night, bro.
Time rolling with his little 28 pressures, and what are we doing here, man?
Hey, bro, listen, man. All I want
don't
to
float
do
in lines like that, man.
All I want to do is see us be successful.
See, look, now he's going to act like a politician. Are you serious?
Yo, man, listen, bro. Stop.
So here's a question for you. What?
Cut this shit. You know we're going to be good, Tyson. You know you want to drink the Kool-Aid, man. Don't even try that shit, bro.
Listen, Tyrone.
Bro. You know you really
see, Tyrone, but here's the difference. Unlike you, I have already made my predictions and put them on our YouTube channel. I have made videos doing my realistic expectations for all facets of the team. So I don't hide from my takes.
But hey, listen, Tyson, tell me.
Surprise, motherfucker. The king is back.
Tell the truth, though, man. This has been the best we've been able to feel in a long time about this team, bro. I really be dead honest with you.
No, listen, dude. I'm ridiculously excited. I think they're going in the right direction. There's a blueprint in place. I think you could see the vision of Joe Douglas. You could see what Sal is trying to do. They upgraded the offensive line. The defensive line is solid. We have more playmakers on offense than we've ever had between the wide receivers. You know, you have more speed at running back. The tight end position is still kind of a concern, but then the whole thing is, you know, what is Zach Wilson? But I think they're putting him in a position to succeed. It may not happen right away, but I feel comfortable with it. Like, I'm excited, dude. Like, but I'm not this guy going to, like right now people are saying, oh, 11 wins and 10 wins. And, like, you know, the Jets could surprise the NFL by winning 6 or 7 games because they were one of the worst teams of football last year. Like, we tend to forget how bad we were last year. You win 6 games, I mean, that's a big step forward. You win 7, that's a big step, and I expect it. Like, I think they'll be competitive week in and week out, and it's just a matter of, like, how they handle this young quarterback, how he progresses throughout the season, and hopefully in late December he's playing at a solid level where we can take another big step next year. That's kind of what I'm hoping for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Like, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, and I know I always get to the point where I'm always drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'm actually excited, man. I'm being really honest with you, man. I'm excited. Like, I got that feeling like when Rex came in the building, bro. I feel like that. And I try to keep my, you know, it's early, so I'm not going to go crazy with it. But I love, you know, what Joe D has done. Like, I really question some of the stuff that he's done in the past. But right now, I'm really comfortable with what he's done. I really like, you know what I'm saying, I really like this team. I mean, I know we have some holes in a few places, but I really like, you know, the revamped offensive line, you know, getting the young talent in, restarting the books, you know what I'm saying, getting some receivers in. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know, man. Like, you feel me, prime time? Do you feel what I'm saying?
I feel you, bro. I feel you.
Yeah, man, it feels good, man.
What do you think, prime time?
It feels good.
I've got like a measured optimism, you know, like kind of like you said, like we're coming off such a low that any bit of progress this year, it's going to feel like a monumental leap. But I do think that, you know, you look at past first year head coaches, yes, they inherited teams that I think were more ready to win now. But all those first year head coaches, I mean, even Adam Gase, he won 7 games his first year. As bad as that was, he won 7 games. And all the other ones, they went to the playoffs. Parcells, he won, I think it was 9 games that year. You know, so the last like really bad first-year head coach was Rich Kotite, you know? So, you know, I feel like you got a lot of players that have been losing for a while. They're hungry to win, and just that change alone, you know, for the guys that are coming back, I think is going to be big. And, you know, I think Douglas has done a pretty decent job in at least trying to focus on the offense and bring in help there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited, but there's just, you know, there's still a lot of question marks. I don't really know, you know, what the ceiling should be this year. But as long as it's competitive football, I think, you know, we'll all be happy at the end of the year. Show progress, develop your quarterback, you know, have Saleh show that he can make adjustments throughout the year. I think we'll all be happy.
Yeah, no, I agree. So what we'll do is we'll go to Afram. Afram, what's up, man?
How you doing, guys?
I'm pretty good. How you doing?
I'm good. The storm passed me over here about 20 minutes ago. But I feel bad for you guys. Is it that bad down there?
It's monsooning down here right now. It's like lightning and thunder, all kinds of nonsense.
It's interesting because it started by me around 2 hours ago. I'm surprised it usually comes up north where I am, but doesn't seem, well, it's circling. Happy belated birthday, Tyrone. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hope many more.
That, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Anytime. About the defense, guys make some great points. It's hard to, you know, I see all your points. We won't know until as training camp develops. But what I'm reading is they're buying in. I know you mentioned this on one of your videos, Tyson, and I've been bringing that point up with Gase. They never were in on what he was doing. They just didn't buy into it. And I think all these guys are buying into to Salah and this whole coaching staff. So that's a tremendous positive, because by doing that, you're seeing guys that are going to want to compete. As far as defense, I think the line is – I like the line. I like the players. I like the amount of the linemen that they have, the rotation. They're going to be consistent. I think they'll be well. The linebacker core, I think Mosley be fine. I don't see him being. Only thing is his health. You know, he got injured once, but that was, I think prior to that he wasn't even injured. He just and then he sat for the 1 year for, you know, he opted out. I like the kid they got from Detroit. I don't think he schemed well with Matt Patricia. And the weak side, we'll see. It's all rookies. And in the secondary, we don't know if Douglas had contact and he with Nelson and he wanted too much, or he doesn't feel that how much of an improvement will be with him compared to what they have now, if it's such a major improvement that he's willing to go and sign a contract with Nelson or pursue him. We don't know. But I'm very optimistic with this whole defensive structure. I think you got a great coaching staff, a good coaching staff. I'm not going to say great yet. I got a good coaching staff. They're all on the same page. We'll see. It's a big question mark, like Kevin says, but we won't know until we see the you know, who's stepping up. And like you say, the cream rises to the top. And let's see, we got another, 3 weeks to go? So if he makes any moves up till now, that's going to fill any additional spots. And linebacker, I don't think Cashman is going to – I don't think he'll ever stay healthy enough. I think they're going to cut him. I don't see him – he hasn't been healthy since they've gotten him. And I think he's still hurt. So I see him being one of the first.
How many guys do you think they're going to keep on the defensive line?
That's a tough one. I really – you don't know. I can't give you an honest answer on it because we don't know with this coach what he deems, what he wants, how many guys he wants in each level. You know, he may keep more on the D-line, or he may keep more in the secondary. I don't know how his scheme is.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the depth chart right now, I mean, you can make a valid case for 10 guys to make the roster between, Quinn Williams, Rankin, Shepard, and Fadukasi on the inside, and then Lawson, Huff, Vin Curry, Franklin Myers, Kyle Phillips, and Zuniga on the outside. So, you know, you got 10 guys there. You're not keeping all 10. I mean, I know you're going to 4-3. You're probably going to keep, you know, a couple extra defensive linemen. So, you know, I was probably thinking somewhere around 8 or 9. So, there's going to be one or two tough
cuts
there.
Someone's gonna get cut, or the practice squad, or something. I mean, that's the name of the game. It's business, and you got to play hard. And you know, you might like the player, but if he doesn't step up over any other guy, of course, you know, they're gonna probably find another home for him or cut him. And it's gonna be the same with everyone. There's really no one except for the quarterback that really has a stable position. You know, they're pushing competitiveness and whoever, you know, if everyone's going to get a chance, we're going to see some guys stepping up and surprisingly, you know, I think one or two guys will be surprisingly stepping up and really competing for a position where we always thought someone else would be taking that position. And most likely in the secondary, in my opinion.
But see, my question for you is, how much of a difference do you think this coaching staff can make in terms of wins and losses this year?
I'm not going with the, you know, double digit wins. You don't know. Realistically, I would say if they could get 6, I'd be very happy, as long as they're all competitive. But like anything else, you know, as long as we stay healthy, we don't know what the other teams, you know, anything could bounce the right way for us or bounce the wrong way for us. You know, as the season goes, if we stay healthy and other teams, as they play more games, you know, there's going to be injuries. Every team's going to incur injuries. At what level, that's going to be the difference. If it's a key player, if it's their quarterback, that can shift that whole club's output tremendously, you know, and we can gain wins just by because of an injury to a quarterback. We could even injure the quarterback if we have a great defensive line, you know. So
yep.
There's different circumstances, but if everyone stays, you know, the same, you know, injury wise is low or whatever, I'd say six wins. I'd be happy with six wins based on first year. Next year, with additional draft picks and another year under their belt, I can see it going double digits, because now you have some consistency, and that's the thing we haven't had in God knows how long. It's just consistency. And I'm hoping this owner sees that, having to stick with the GM and the coach long term to build a consistency, just like all these other teams that have been constantly been successful. They've had same coach for a period of time, and they build a solid core, and then they change one guy every year that, you know, has reached its potential, and then bring a young guy in, not changing the whole team per se like we just did. So, you know, I'm optimistic with this team. I'm happy with what Douglas is doing. I'm trusting what he's doing at this point. I haven't seen anything that I didn't like that he's done. And we just move forward. I mean, that's the best you could do at this point. It's too early.
So then,
a big question mark.
So now the most important question, who do you have, McGregor or Poirier this weekend?
Well, I go Poirier. Didn't he win last time?
Yep.
Yeah. Is it this Saturday?
Saturday night.
Saturday night. Yeah. I'm looking for that's the main event, right?
Yeah, they'll probably fight around probably 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. They'll drag.
Yeah,
that one
the
out.
Usual. Yeah. But it'll be. Let's see how long it lasts. Let's see if he,
well, Tyson, yeah. Let me ask you, the MMA guru. How do you defend the leg kick? Like, what's your game plan to combat
you
that?
You check it. You check it. You check the kick.
It's just that simple. You just check it.
Check it. Check the kick. That's all it is. Huh? Once you check a couple of kicks and it hurts like hell. So then it makes you.
When
makes you
say check
it,
what do? You just block it with your leg.
Yep, you block it with your shin. So yeah, so McGregor's a lefty, so that kick coming in. Yeah, so you go shin on shin, it hurts like hell. But once you land a couple hard ones, the guy will. It makes you think twice about throwing a kick again. You don't want to eat him clean. So different. There's a variety.
Gotcha.
That's the person you could check it. You could change your footwork. You can, or what you could do is the minute they land that kick, you fire back your own kick. You don't keep eating.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's
Kevin,
I'm sure he's.
Go ahead.
So who do you have in the fight, Tyson? Who do you like?
Well, I'll share my thoughts. We're asking Afram now. This we're checking. You know.
No, I think he's gonna win again. He looked very good the last fight. So anticipate, unless McGregor comes up with a different way to attack him. But Poirier was solid. So Kevin, were you happy that the Mets took two out of three from the Yanks?
I'm so glad you brought that up. I knew Tyson wasn't gonna bring it up. But I'm glad that you brought it up.
Wait, some bullshit.
What was the stat on Gerrit Cole over his last two starts? 9 earned runs, which was the amount that DeGrom has given up all year so far.
What's going on? You think they're just not listening to Boone?
They're a bunch
they're not
of
happy
zombies,
in there.
Man. This is like playing for Todd Bowles, man. It's the same bullshit. They're underachieving.
Yeah.
Nobody holds them accountable. They're playing like shit. They can't run the bases right. And, like, they're lifeless in there. You watch them, like, they don't care if they hit a homer. They don't. It's like, it's just, it's such bullshit baseball. It's unwatchable. And nobody gets held accountable. So that, nobody. Nobody
yeah,
gets benched.
So,
and you know what? I'm like, you know what you do? You tell Stanton, guess what, dude? You're playing the fucking outfield. And if you get hurt, I don't care. Because we need you out there. We can't keep, like, monopolizing the DH position with him. It's like, some of this shit's been ridiculous, man.
Yeah, but you have to care about him getting hurt, though. He signed for another, what, 8 years?
Who cares? He isn't doing shit anyway.
Do you think
they're babying everybody, man? Somebody, you got to be a hard ass with your team. Like, stop babying every friggin' guy. You get blown out 12-1. Well, we had some good at bats. Are you fucking kidding me? Good at bats, you're getting blown out. You can't pitch, you can't catch, you can't run the bases, you can't hit. You can't do anything. Like, stop
blaming the GM who kept bringing this team back.
Oh, he's just as guilty.
Yeah, but do you think there's the clubhouse has issues? Do you think that players are not liking each other?
I think they're all way too comfortable, to be honest with you. They're all too comfortable. They walk in, they walk out. Like, you lost, like, Didi was a big leader in there, man. Didi was a very prominent leader in that locker room. And now it's like he's gone. Gleyber Torres is a shell of himself. He's useless. It's like, all, you know, it's just, who's the leader? Aaron Judge? And then the biggest, nice. he talks all this shit like, I want to face Ohtani. He doesn't even play. Like, how is that even possible? This team is a joke.
There's no, like you said, there's no life. There's just
nothing.
Zombies. It's just, even when they win, it's not enjoyable.
No. The team a couple years ago when he had all the young guys up, like Ford and Tyler Wade, and they're all like scrapping and, you know, they're just finding ways to win. That was fun to watch. Now you have all these overpaid bozos that are doing jack shit and don't care. They throw a helmet every once in a while. They lose a game. They know they're going to play the next day. They're never going to get benched. Nothing's ever going to happen. And that's it. It's just, it's a joke, man. This is as bad as it gets with them. It's terrible.
That's why you guys should be sellers at the deadline.
They should. Make
a ball
move. Get rid of everybody.
Trade Sanchez, trade Torres, load up on some prospects. You guys can turn it around quick if you do.
You got to cut your losses, man.
Torres was playing well previous years. This is what gets me. I don't know what's
well, the move to
short
killed him, dude.
So move him back, switch, do something, make a change, you know, juggle the lineup, do something, juggle the infield. I mean, you need to do something now. You know, if you see the guy is not playing well at short and he was playing better at second, and, you know, figure something out.
And what do
you
do with LeMahieu, you know, then?
I would sub him. I would sub him for DH, sit Stanton few games, and sub him at
see
first.
See what I'm saying? That Stanton thing is fucking ridiculous. He's like an albatross sitting there at DH. It's so I'm so fed up with this team right now. Like, I can't. I'm tired of excuses. Like, the way this team was developed and the way it's been managed is so poor. And, like, it's just like, you know, Hal Steinbrenner makes his press conference. That's a joke. Aaron Boone's comments are a joke. It's just terrible. So terrible.
At least we got the
Jets coming
in September.
And then the whole thing with Garrett Cole is this, though. Like the Baseball Players Association is so strong. I know it is. But if Garrett Cole gets popped, like, if he really goes in the tank because he can't use the sticky stuff and he really goes into the shitter, how is that, like, contract not voidable? Like, it was fraudulent. Like, seriously, like, your performance is fraudulent. We gave you a contract based on numbers that you were getting artificially.
That's
right.
Same thing with Chapman.
Oh, that was predictable. I called that one on Saturday. I knew that was happening. Or was it Sunday? Sunday. I called that one. I knew the home run was coming, and Mindy came in the game. I knew it.
Yeah, even his stuff has gone a little sour ever since, I think, because he had some of that stuff on his neck or whatever.
Grom's still looking good. Tylan Walker's still looking good. Stroman's still looking good.
Yeah, Grom's going to win the game.
ERA
from
below under one.
Thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys. Be well. Be well.
Get me started on this Yankees bullshit. Bunch of clowns.
Yeah, yeah, boy.
Baseball's fun right now, man. I'm enjoying it.
Of course you is.
See how long it lasts.
I'm not watching a damn thing. I'm watching martial arts, and that's it. I'm just getting ready for football season. Basketball's done. Hockey's done. Baseball's done. It's all about football and MMA now.
I'm sitting watching. I got I got the game on now.
Oh, with the Bucks and Suns?
Yeah. 18-18. That kid.
Who are you picking in that?
You know I want Phoenix to win, bro. You know I can't stand Milwaukee. I don't like Milwaukee. I just, they're playing good ball right now, but I just, bro. They're hard to watch, bro. That's sorry. Everyone's telling me how good Giannis is. How, bro? Like, all you can do is dunk. Like, you know, have no fundamental skills. Like, so.
Yeah, it's a weird. Tyson, it's just a weird time in sports. Yes, sir.
Tyson, so who's gonna win the fight this weekend, bro? Like,
oh man, this is a tough one for me because I think
you're McGregor
Dustin
fan.
Dustin Poirier is phenomenal, dude. I like what McGregor's done for the sport. I think he does. I think he's entertaining as shit. He's made a lot of people a lot of money, including himself. I mean, there's no fight week like his fight week because he causes constant chaos, man. Like, he did the thing. He did the tweet just a little while ago with Poirier's wife, like, DMing him or something like that. Like, he's controversial. He's flamboyant. He's must-watch. Either you love him or you hate him, but you want to watch the fight. I think he's better than people think he is. It's just a matter of what version of him shows up. Like, he may be really motivated now because he was embarrassed the last fight. And keep in mind, the last fight, he did have Poirier rocked, though, too. He hit him a couple big shots, but then he got – I think he was kind of overconfident going in there, kind of complacent. He had some ring rust because his fighting at Cerrone wasn't very long. And I think it's going to be a much better fight. Poirier, I think, right now is probably a better fighter. But I don't know, man. I think it's going to be interesting as shit. I think it's going to be really, really interesting. I think Conor knows if he loses this, all his big paydays in MMA are gone. Because the rematch against Nate Diaz will be big, but not, you know, not as big losing two in a row. So
yeah.
Even though he's got, you know, billions of dollars or whatever the hell he has, he knows losing this is an enormous setback for him, where he can't get those mega paydays. So I don't know, you may see a very good version of him.
You excited, aren't you?
I love it, dude. I like fights with hype, like. Yeah. I'll watch the press conference. I'll watch the wins. Because, dude, he's just – you never know what to expect from him. But he's a showman. Dude, he's an entertainer. Like, you – like, I'm telling you, he's entertaining as hell, man. It's just – you saw how the fans were reacting to him. Like, he was driving to California. They swarmed his car. Like, they surrounded him. Like, he's just – he's like that – he's just that kind of personality, man. You know? So, and then he does – and the Coleman – oh, see, I'm torn. I like Stephen Thompson, man. Like, I think he deserves a title shot. He's like a long-time good guy, continues to get better, takes tough fights, short-notice fights. I'd like to see him find a way to win that, man, get his deserved title shot and a big payday. But that's just
– Burns looked so good in the first round of that Usman fight.
Yep. Burns is a beast, dude. You're going to get a better version of him. He's powerful. But Stephen Thompson's style is so unorthodox, dude. The kicks, his movement, his attacks. But the only thing is, does he have the knockout power to knock Burns out? I don't think he can go five rounds and win a fight against Burns. I don't think that will last. But I think it's a three-round fight. But I don't know. If I had to bet the fight, I would take Burns. But I'm rooting for Thompson, man. I just want to see him get that enormous payday.
Yeah,
who do you like, prime time?
I like Burns in that fight. I've always been a fan of Burns. He got the Sugar Show also on the main card.
What about McGregor?
Oh, that one I'm completely torn on. I mean, Poirier is just so good, and you know, you figure McGregor is going to bounce back from the last fight. Like you said, he's probably embarrassed. You know, he wants to get that payday, so it should be a good fight. I think it's going to go longer than it did the first one or the second one.
Yeah, I mean I almost questioned his conditioning a little bit too, because like when he started getting pieced up in the second round. That was more movement. I think he anticipated to land those big shots in the first round and put Poirier away, and it didn't happen. And he was like, oh, shit. That's always been a rap on him, where it's like he kind of fades as the fight goes along. So it's going to be interesting, man. The whole card is stacked. I mean, there's a lot of really good matchups on it. So it's a great night of fights. And it's just the atmosphere and environment he brings, dude, is second to none. I'm telling you, watch the press conference, watch the weigh-ins. The fans go nuts. The Irish will take over Vegas. I mean, it gets crazy.
Oh, is that going to be full crap?
Yes, sir. Of course, man. They want that McGregor money, man. He's got an amp. Like, dude, I almost went and said, fuck it, because they have the fights. Then he has an after party, like the Wynn Hotel, like at a beach bar or something like that. So he's already got an after party. I'm like, you know what? I almost went. I was like, screw it. Because it's just, you just know the team's going to be insane. So, what happened? I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, there's nothing like a McGregor fight, man. Nothing like it. So, hopefully, it's entertaining and everybody gets the money's worth and not some, like, you know, stupid shit.
We'll create that kind of atmosphere when we head out to Carolina.
Yeah.
Talking about that big fight that happened a few weeks ago, that mockery of boxing, that bullshit.
Well, that's what celebrity boxing. We don't count that stuff.
Yeah, I don't even know what you call that, bro. That shit was, bro. Like, anybody wasting their money on that, like, it's just a waste of money. Like, yo, I'm not paying to watch that, bro. I promise you. If it's on the fire stick, I'm all with it. I can't support that, bro. That's just. It's a mockery.
Who are you picking for tomorrow? Who are you picking, McGregor or Poirier?
Like, yo, I'm going to be real with you. I like McGregor. And I really think he'll come, you know, he'll definitely make, you know what I'm saying, a comeback. But my man is nice, bro. My man is nice. He's nice, bro. He's real nice. And I just, I don't know. I think maybe McGregor's better days are ahead of him. But I don't want to say that. Because I'm on the phone with somebody who does this every day and trains fighters. That's why I wanted to get your opinion, because I really wanted to get – I wanted to think, am I more looking at it like I like McGregor because I want to see McGregor. I've enjoyed what he's done for the sport. Or I want to talk to someone that really understands the ins and outs and how to adjust and, you know, if he could adjust to what was happening last fight. That was my biggest thing. That's why I'm glad you really broke that down with the leg kicks, bro. Because I'm telling you, that bone on bone, I know that shit hurt, bro. It looked like it hurt, bro. Like, it looks like,
well,
it
looks
painful.
You watch, well, that's the biggest trend in, like, in martial arts now is the calf kicks. Everybody's lighting up everybody's calf.
Yeah,
it takes away your lead leg. You can't throw punches.
But you're saying check that shit? I'm like, yep. Bro, oh, my God. I can feel that pain right now, bro. No,
it
I
hurts,
can feel
dude.
That. I know that shit hurts, bro. I know that shit hurts.
But you know what
I
the thing
imagine,
is, though? It's
bro.
Like when you check it, though. Like, I'll tell you from firsthand experience, dude, when you check a kick, that person thinks twice about throwing a kick again because it hurts. Like, I there's guys where I go against, you rip a kick, he checks it, you're like, oh. You think about it because they're like, all right, I got to figure a way to not do that and, you know, find a different hole. So it's just, it's a lot of strategy. And, you know, I think McGregor's conditioning probably wasn't top. Like, Poirier's boxing is sick. Like, he's a very good boxer. But McGregor is, like, pressure. He's unorthodox. He's got some pop. He shows different looks. I just think you're going to see – I'm hoping you see a better version of him, because he's going to go out in your shield, man. Go out with your best version. Don't come out, you know, half-assing it. And Poirier's got a lot to – he gave up a title shot for this. So if he wins this, he's getting another enormous payday for a title shot. So he'll fight Oliveira. So it's interesting, man. It's going to be really, really interesting.
That'll be a great fight too, man.
Oh, he's good. Yep. There's a lot of good matchups coming up, man.
Yeah, he's the real deal, bro. He really is nice, bro. He's nice.
Dude, I love it. I love fight nights like Saturday night. I cannot wait, dude. That's just a good time. And it's like they have – I mean, I watch all the prelims. I watch from like 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock. I watch it all. I don't care. It's just a good time. So Tyrone, any final thoughts on the Jets? We covered the defense tonight. We did the offense last week. You know, next week we'll start getting into like predictions a little bit and stuff like that, but – Any final thoughts on the Jets defense and what to expect?
I'm just saying, I think that we'll see how things play out this summer. I also think that, you know, it's still gonna be players at it. So let's understand it's still gonna be, you know, we still got training camp, we still got cut days, we still got guys that are gonna be turned loose that we actually could really help us. So I mean, I'm excited what we have right now, and I'm just looking forward to it. And thanks again to everyone who sent me birthday shout out. I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me.
Primetime, your thoughts?
Slowest time of the year, the final 3 to 4 weeks leading up to camp. So counting down the days, can't wait till it's here. That's all I got.
That's it. Yeah. You know, Let's Talk Jets Radio, Instagram and Twitter. Let's Talk Jets Radio, at Talk Jets Radio, Instagram and Twitter. Let's Talk Jets Radio on YouTube, post all kinds of videos and stuff like that. The shirts should be done the end of this week, hopefully, but by the weekend. We'll get those out as soon as possible. And that's it. We appreciate a little support, and we'll talk to you guys next week. See you guys later.
Be good, man.
Later.